thanks for listening to the Radiant Church Podcast. This is David Perkins, and we're so glad that you're listening. Hey, if you're a part of our family meeting online or in person, we want to encourage you to get connected at Radiant Church KC across all social media platforms. God is doing something incredible in Kansas City, and we love connecting with you, whether it's through our app or even through all the content available on our YouTube page. Hey, our prayer is that God uses this message to change your life and that you could become a dynamic disciple of Jesus. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this message. Hey, it's great to see all of you. Hey, a couple things. One, on May 1st, one of our overseers, Pastor Lane Trans, will be here. As you know, in addition to our trustee board of five, we have an oversight board of five. And did you enjoy Pastor Les? He's one of the overseers. He did a great job last week. Heyo. Ooh, I'm liking you guys. This is feeling good. It's feeling a little bit better now. But anyway, Pastor Lane's daughter is graduating from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City. And so he called me and said, hey, can we have a meal together? And I said, bro, if you're in town, you're going to come work. So he's going to come to the prayer meeting and lead us in prayer that day. And so anyway, if ever you come to the prayer meeting, May 1 might be a good one. In addition to just praying together, I think it's fun for as many of you as possible to connect with him while he's in town. So that's happening on May 1. May 9, we will have our Dream Team banquet, everybody. And we have over 300 of you on the Dream Team. And we've always had to rent a banquet hall. But hey, everybody, no more. We will be right here, everybody. So thank you to all of you that serve, whether you're running a camera or greeting people or running coffee or helping in Radiant Kids or leading a small group. Let's give our Dream Team a big shout out. Can we do that? Hey-o. And then I just want to, I'm really grateful Pastor Kyle mentioned it, but May 19, Renata and I would like to invite you to come to Connect. We'd love to share vision and values, give you the opportunity to join and be a part if you want to become a member. And then really there's three different ways that we love to connect you. We love to connect you into our prayer meeting. It's an easy place. If you're old school church, you're used to a Wednesday night service. We do a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we love it around here. It's a big part of who we are. And so Pastor Kyle kind of cast some vision there. And many people love to just come and just be a part of the prayer engine to see Radiant Church work. And then some people, we invite you to come and connect to small groups. Of course, small groups is how we do discipleship at our church. And so it's a great way for you to learn about all of our different small groups and get connected. And Pastor Hal will be there and help connect you to small groups. And then another lane or avenue or road or map or direction that you could go is the Dream Team. And Pastor Paul will be there to help you if you want to serve. We love discipleship in small groups and then serving on teams. And so that's an avenue as well. Hey, we are... Hey, just for fun, did you enjoy that? Can you just, I love the worship team doing new songs. I know that that was new and some of you did where you were like Jehovah Nisi, I mean, Jehovah Rapha, but can we just give them a hand? That was really great. I thought they did good. Yeah. I was personally a little disappointed that they didn't add as a lyric, Jehovah Sid Canoe. I mean, what's up? Like we could have taken a little deeper, baby. Hey, stand with me and let's read out of Ephesians chapter 2. We're in a series where we're taking 6 weeks to go through Ephesians. There's six chapters in Ephesians. And so this is just our spring series in Ephesians. And so we started in Ephesians chapter 1. And of course, we did that apostolic prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1. And then Pastor Les was here last week. Today, we're going to go just these first 10 verses of Ephesians 2. It's theologically dense. There's a lot here. You can marinate here for a 10-week series. We're gonna just marinate here for today, but there's a lot here. I would encourage you over the next 6 weeks to be reading Ephesians and just try to read through it as part of your time alone with Jesus. I think that'd be powerful for you. If you'll remain standing, I'm gonna go 10 full verses here, so let's go after it. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time. Then it explains it, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we'll take three different things today. We'll go verses 1-3, my need to be rescued. Then we'll go verses 4-9, my God who rescues, what he does, how he does it. And then that verse 10 at the end, my response, how I live because I've been rescued. Stretch out your hands like this. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are your people. We ask that the word of God would dwell in us richly. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know God. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate our minds so that we would know your word. We pray that you would cause the deep things of God, what's in your heart for our families and our city and our nation and our world, God. Let what's in your heart take up residence in our heart. God, we ask that what you care about, we would care about. And we just pray that this Ephesians 2 text would come alive in us. We pray that the life of God, that we would be alive in Christ. We thank you for what you're gonna do. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We are forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This week I was, like the video showed you, I was in Guatemala, and it was really wonderful to see the James Project and all they're doing with children as they take children. They have 106 different children that are there at the James Project that they have taken out of poverty or out of abuse or out of neglect and given them a new start. Really, you could almost say given them a new life, something that they reached in and helped rescue them out of a disastrous situation. And it was so beautiful to see these children that once were in that kind of pain, that kind of brokenness, given a new start. 60% of them come out of some form of sexual abuse. The other 40%, some kind of either nutritional neglect or violence. And so those are the ones that are brought out. And I was on the plane returning home, studying Ephesians 2, reading this text, and I just couldn't help but make the comparison. When you read Ephesians 2 and you look at these first few verses, the first three verses, it gives a description of what we were like prior to new life in Christ. So you've got this description of the people that were once connected to the ways of the world, the ways of our flesh, and under the influence of the devil. And that's the first three verses. And then there's a but God. There's a story of, but they were rescued. And then a description of the kind of life that we get to live now. And I was just thinking, oh, the disappointment, the sadness that I would have had, that you would have. If these children were given the opportunity to be rescued out of the brokenness that they're in, and they decided to refuse the opportunity to receive healthcare and education and food and shelter. Imagine if they said, no, that's okay, I will remain here. I want this more than I want that. I'm so used to this. This is so much my environment that I'm going to not be a part of that. I'm going to remain here. And as I was praying for you, I was thinking about you and I and our temptation to take these ideas that Paul puts in Ephesians 2, 1-3, where he talks about three things. He talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the systems of our culture or of the world that leave God out. So they're doing life without God as a variable in the equation. They're doing life without God. That's what the world does. The flesh is before I was made new in Christ, the cravings, that's why Paul used that word cravings, our desires. the way that I, the thing that I want, my cravings, I choose those cravings over the new man, the new creation, the things of God, what God has done inside of me. And all of us have the temptation to not just live lives like the world without God, but to actually give dominance to our flesh instead of to the spirit. And the prince of this air or the devil. Of course, Jesus in John 8 refers to the devil as the father of lies. And you and I have an enemy seeking to try to get us to believe lies. And for us, when the way that the enemy works on you is through lies. So if the enemy can get you to believe lies, then he's got you within the enemy's grasp. And so the tragedy, oh, the sadness that we would experience if one of these children that we have an awareness. I mean, here I am, I'm with my son Dawson, and we're over here at the James Project, and there's housing, and there's a great staff, and there's food, and there's a chapel, and there's walls to protect them. There's root. I mean, it is a different life that is available for these kids instead of this level of brokenness. Oh, the tragedy. Oh, the sadness. If literally we were like, hey, get in here and we've got a new life available. And they said, no, I choose this life over that. Oh, the sadness that we would possess. Imagine you in your journey as you've got 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years on planet Earth. And you've got this privilege to step into the new life that comes in Christ, what Jesus has done for us because of the finished work on the cross. If we've got this opportunity to take on this new identity that says in Ephesians 2:6, where we are seated with him in heavenly places, for it is by grace you have been saved or rescued. And you've got this opportunity because of the finished work of the cross to enter into a new life, to no longer remain in the grasp of the ways of the world or the dominance of the flesh or the lies of the enemy, but to step in because of Christ into a new life. Oh, the tragedy if we were to choose the world, the flesh, the devil, instead of Christ. Instead of choosing, no, my identity is who I am in Christ. My future is Christ. And because of God's work, I choose. Where we're gonna go in conclusion is I choose to step out and do in gratitude, demonstrate my gratitude for what Christ has done for me, good works. Listen to the way that Jesus says this, because I wanna just show you Jesus on these ideas that Paul gives. Because Jesus talks about them in the high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus talks about the world and he prays this, I have given them your word and the world has hated them for they are not of the world. That's our prayer. That this prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples would be true of us as radiant disciples following Jesus in 2024. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. D.L. Moody said it this way, Christians should live in the world, but not be filled with it. A ship lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, she goes to the bottom. So Christians may live in the world, but if the world gets into them, they sink. So Jesus has a prayer that you and I would not live like the world, leaving God out, but that we would live in the world and love the world, be like him in the world, but not be like them. Jesus also speaks of the flesh. There's that moment in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus responds to the temptation of the enemy. And the first temptation, when tempted to turn stones into bread, Jesus responds and says, man does not live according to bread alone, but according to every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he chooses not to give in to flesh. And then the third one I want you to see is just that famous story in Matthew 16, where Peter addresses Jesus. And there's a little talk of the enemy here. I just want you to see it. Because Peter makes a true confession and then he makes a false confession. Listen to the difference between how Jesus responds to Peter, one of his disciples, to a true confession versus how Jesus responds to Peter, one of his disciples, who makes a false confession. Listen to this. He looks at him, he says, who people say the Son of Man is. Some say You're like John the Baptist, some say Elijah, one of the prophets, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter responds, you are the Messiah. You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus gives the response, blessed. Blessed are you, Simon. So it's a positive truth, yes. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This is not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And you are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. Gates of hell will not be overcome it. He's like, woohoo! And Peter gets so excited. Peter's all of a sudden talking a lot. Right? Because then just a few verses later in verse 23, Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and suffer. And Peter says, no. This cannot be. It's not going to go down this way. And he's expecting blessed are you, Simon. You my boy. What's up? You're going to help me from suffering. But Jesus responds to the same disciple six verses later and says, get behind me, Satan. That's a bad day. What's the distinction? One was truth. One was a disciple that believed a lie, spoke it. So the deception, the lie, Jesus has a very different mentality toward. And the same way that Jesus would hate the lie that came out of Peter, he hates the lies that you and I have a tendency to believe. You and I often are tolerant of those lies. Jesus wants to destroy them. You and I often fill our minds with so many lies because we live in a culture where the lies are everywhere. You and I often fill our minds, if you just put per data, perpetual radio, constant reels, so much streaming video, so much attempts to go ahead and watch just another show at night, and deeply embedded in the world that does life without God, the temptation is to believe the lies that the enemy wants to get into your mind. And I just want you to imagine Jesus responding to Peter and saying, Satan, get behind me, so that you might hate lies the way Jesus hates lies. So that you might be less tolerant of lies in your own life. Most of us, we have a real passivity. Oh, I'm sure Jesus is cool. Jesus is my homeboy. What's up? We're all good, right? But imagine, here's God incarnate, really addressing a real disciple. You are a real disciple. And when you believe ideas, lies, Jesus wants to address those just like he did Peter. And so I think it helps you, it helps me, when we're very intentional to say, my intake of truth is constantly needed. So measure what's the possibility of the lies that you allow in. Through the gate of your television, through the gate of your iPhone, through the gate of the culture around you, versus the amount of intake you take from Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, versus the word of God. Imagine you do you, you figure out how, you figure out the method, but I just want to invite you to the principle and the idea that you are going to fight for the truth here. Because it's so easy to start to believe a lie, tolerate a lie, have a false view, and just think, hey, this is the way that my world is. And I just want you to recognize there is a God, and Jesus is real, and he has a real opinion, and you gotta fight for truth. All of you that are parents of teenagers, you know what it is to try to fight for truth. I've got four teenagers, right? 14, 16, 18, 19. My work when they were little was, hey, here, don't fight each other, eat the Cheerios, and listen to VeggieTales, be nice. Okay? That was cheaper than now. Now, $7 boba, $6 vanilla latte, $11 burger, and I'm listening. Why? Because I know that these little tiny lies, I start to believe these little, well, I heard this one celebrity, they sit on this reel, blah, 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 blah. Oh, no. Because if you start to believe that lie, then down the road, it has bears fruit. So I'm gonna fight for truth in your mind, right? Jesus times 1,000 thinks that over your life. He's wanting to fight. No, come back to me. Get this word of God inside of you. Don't just kind of be tolerant, you know, I don't really know the scriptures. No, you want to get them in you. I want to be able to, you got to fight for, you got to know truth. And I know people say, it's not so bad. It is that bad. Yeah. You live in a culture that leaves God out constantly. Actually, you live in a culture that not only leaves God out, you live in a culture that instead of fighting against the flesh, they make you identify and fight for your flesh. And they say you are your flesh. No, the very things that Jesus called flee immorality, flee sin, we live in a culture that says define yourself by what your cravings are. Okay, so you and I are people that go, no, I've been redeemed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. I am a new creation. I once was living without God like the ways of the world. I once was believing the lies of the enemy. I once was doing whatever gratified my flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love. That's my story. So you get to verse 4 right here, and there's that big but God. NIV, it says God, great love, right? But great love, then God. ESV, I like the ESV on this one. It just says, but God. Just but God. And this is your story. I once was filled with lies, but God. I once was bitter, but God. I once was angry, but God. I once had perpetual rage, but God. I once defined my life as a victim, but God. I once was so frustrated because I wasn't healthy enough and I was just, but God. Come on, you want to preach this with me? Just come with me. I just love it. All right. But God. And that's the story. That's all through the Bible. Actually, over 60 times, there's this phrase, but God. So I want to invite you just to look at your own life and get that deep inside you. What would it look like for me to be able to define my life? But God. Yes, I was that way, but I'm not there anymore. And I'm looking to a future trajectory. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I'm alive, no longer dead. I'm alive. I'm not going to define my life by the world and my flesh and the lies that I tend to believe. I'm going to define my life. So it's obviously we're not currently residentially in heaven. We're here on earth. But who we are as Christ followers is we want to see heaven come to earth. The enemy's trying to get hell on earth. So you're saying, but who I am, Ephesians 2:6, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. So that's where I'm headed. You know, then that's maturity. Like you look at a child and we consider them mature when they start to be able to look long-term, right? A 5-year-old who is thinking about their retirement funds is a very rare 5-year-old, right? Like, whoa. But when they're 50, it's like, that's good that you're thinking about being 75, right? It's maturity when you're thinking about eternity. It's maturity when you're thinking, I got a little time here on planet Earth, but what I care about is just over the horizon. I'm gonna spend eternity with him. I'm seated with him. So the things that he hates, I hate. And I'm in a perpetual battle to live by my spirit instead of my flesh, but oh, I want my spirit man to wake up on the inside. And I'm in a perpetual battle to believe the truth of Jesus and the truth of the word of God instead of the lies in my culture, but I'm gonna fight for truth in my innermost being and in my mind. And I'm always tempted to just live on cruise control without God and just like the world lives without God, but that's what the world does. And it is a fight. But if you can get, this is who I am. I once was that way. God's done a work inside of me, but God, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love. There's actually so many times in the scriptures where this but God phrase is used. This actually could be a whole nother series. I was coming home on the plane and I was like, I could do a but God series. It sounds weird, but it's true. Yeah, but God, but it's true. Look at Joseph, Genesis 50. All right, it says this. Because you know Joseph's story? He was in prison. He was in a pit. He was betrayed. He had the people that loved him the most that lied to him and hurt him. I mean, he had Potiphar's wife accuse him falsely. And then the moment where his brothers come back to the very ones that betrayed him, he spoke about God. Verse 20, famous verse, you intended to harm me, but God. But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. The saving of many lives. You could have a story like that. All this pain, all this heartache. But God, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love. Psalmist, Psalm 49:12. People despite their wealth do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves. That's a great phrase. That's our culture, isn't it? This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their priestly mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. One more. It's a story where Paul is preaching. Acts 13. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. That's Easter 25. But God. Hey, everybody, he is risen 2025. But God. But God raised him from the dead. Well, I don't know in your journey right now, the ashes, the pain, the betrayal, the disappointment, the anger, the hurt, the sickness, the fear, the rage. But in the midst of your story, here is Ephesians. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins. I think it's easy for you and I to not live in, I once was dead, but God, now I'm alive. I think it's easier for us to just make up a middle category. A middle category of like, I'm kind of alive. I'm kind of, yes, but I don't know. And I just want to invite you, according to the scriptures, if you say yes to Christ and you are, it's justification by faith, and you are regenerate, Christ in you, God is at work in you. There's two categories. Don't make up a third category. There's dead and alive. Okay, this is really silly, and I'm gonna regret this. I know it. But I've been really serious, so let me just do halftime for a second. Any of you ever see The Princess Bride? Yeah. All right, that was one of the few movies I could watch as a kid. So you're gonna get Michael Landon and Billy Crystal, right? Those are my favorites. But that moment where Billy Crystal, who plays Miracle Max, and they come in and their friend Wesley is dead, and they come to Miracle Max and they say, can you do a miracle? And Miracle Max holds up Wesley's arm, drops it, because Wesley's dead. And he goes, huh? He goes, I've seen worse, you know, like that. Remember that moment? And then he goes, turns out, he goes, what can you do? He's already dead. And he goes, ooh, look who knows so much, right? Remember that? And he goes, turns out your friend is not all dead. He's only mostly dead. Mostly dead, slightly alive, right? Remember that? Let me tell you that. That's great comedy and bad theology, all right? Do not have Miracle Max theology. No. We are this. I once was dead, but God, through Christ, and there's these phrases, in mercy, by grace, through faith, for good works. Christ gave me new life. Christ rose from the dead, and Christ gives me new life. I once was dead, now I have new life in Christ. So I am now a new creature, new man, new attitude, new creature in Christ Jesus. So that goes inside of us. And so those four phrases that come are this. I've got in mercy, mercy. I deserve death. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. I deserve death, but he gives me life. Mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so great is his love for you. No way, yeah, ha, yeah. In mercy, by grace, you have been saved. Paul actually says it twice right here. By grace, you have been saved. Grace, I get what I don't deserve. It's the criminal on the cross, the thief on the cross. Hey, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. I tell you, you'll be with me today in paradise. The thief that gets Jesus and heaven with no good works goes, na, 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 na. The other thief is filled with bitterness. Listen, you receive grace. I deserve death and I don't get it because God, he has mercy. But now, by grace, in mercy, by grace, you're gonna give me what you're gonna give me eternal life, the Spirit of God taking residency in me through faith so that no one can boast. We think boasting, we think bragging. First century, this would not be bragging. This would be articulating what you put your trust in. So when it says, so that no one, through faith, so that no one can boast, it's saying, it's not anything that you do, it's through faith alone. It's not anything that you did, it's what Christ did. So an army would make a boast about the size of their army as before they go into battle the night before. Hey, the enemy has 5,000, we have 10,000 soldiers. That would be a boast. They have 100 chariots, we have 500 chariots. We boast in our chariots. We boast in how many warriors we have. That's our boast. Like that psalm, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the Lord, Psalm 20. That idea, so when it says, so that no one can boast, it's through faith, it's in Christ, so that no one can boast, because ultimately we make our boast only in Christ. My boast is only in him, my trust. So in mercy, by grace, through faith. And then this last phrase, he says this, to do good works. Imagine the moment where you're able to go there. You're not mad saying, why I hate to talk of good works. No, the response is, it's Ephesians 2:6 before Ephesians 2:10. I'm so seated in heavenly realms. I so identify with who I am in Christ. Oh, it is my delight and joy to overflow in good works because that's who I am. I've been given a new seat. Before I moved to Kansas City, back when I lived in Colorado, I used to fly a lot more when I was leading mission trips with our interns. And so sometimes I would get bumped up to first class. And so I was actually taking one time, I was going to a conference and I took my son Justice with me to a conference. And they gave me one seat for first class. And so I had this bright idea. I'll put my 5-year-old in first class by himself. Brilliant, brilliant concept. And so I thought, so I put Justice in first class and then I went and sat in economy. And I thought it was gonna be work, you know, I thought it was gonna be great. Like he was gonna love it. Turns out the lady next to him got drunk and he was scared and it was awful, it was a disaster. He has nightmares about it. Sorry, don't ever do that. It was really poor parenting. But it's making for a great illustration right now. But God, all right. I took his seat, he took my seat. That's the gospel. We deserve death. God took your seat. He went to a cross so that you could get his seat, seated with him in heavenly places. What, me, seated? Yeah. The God of the universe invites me to be with him, seated with him in heavenly places. The significance of that seat reframes how I live my life now. The significance of that seat has changed me. The significance of that seat causes me to want to do what I really want to do, which is heaven now. Not hell now, heaven now. Not leave God out now, not the ways of the world now, not the flesh now, not the cravings of the flesh now, not the lies of the enemy now, no, heaven now, truth now, God at work now, healing now, loving others now, loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, strength now, heaven now. So we become a people that say, I am saved or rescued by grace through faith, to do good works. And the works that I do, it's not to be saved, it's because I am saved. It's not to be rescued, it's because I've been rescued. So I'm living in an overflow of gratitude. Look what the Lord has done. I was this, but God, now it is the privilege of my life to live seated in heavenly places. I am physically here, but I am relationally there with him in heavenly places. So right now, the things of God become what I delight in. And I wanna invite you to take that seat in your mind, in your heart. We call it being radiant, so that it's the privilege of our lives. God, I wanna pray now, talk to you, be with you now. God, I wanna be like you to others in how I give, serve, teach, or make disciples and train now. Now those things burn inside of me. Now, I'm seated with you now. So I once was this, but now I'm this. I'll just close with this. One of my favorite verses is out of Luke 15. It's the story that touched me as a teenager. That moment where the prodigal comes back home. And it says, but while he was still a long way off, the father saw him, had compassion on him, ran to his son, kissed him, put his arms around him. And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he says, stop. And he loves, I love this phrase. The father says, my son was lost and is found. Here's the phrase. He was dead and is alive. You and I know by reading the parable, the son was not physically dead. He was distant from the father. He was doing his own thing. He was going his own way. And yet when Jesus talks about this Jewish father who talks about when his son was absent, gone, he was dead, but now he's alive. That is relationship. I was once ashes, dead. Now I have new life. I'm in proximity, I'm in relationship. And we get the privilege of having relationship with God because of Jesus going to a cross. And the seat that you deserved, that I deserved, he took. You and I received this gift of God. Wednesday night, Dawson and I were at the James Project in Guatemala, and Dawson was preaching to 106 children on a basketball court, the staff, and he told this story. And then he said this, he said, I so identified with this story. He said that for Christmas, I asked my parents for a ring and a bathrobe. But I didn't want to ask them for too much because the ring was so expensive. I secretly bought my own sandals. Now, your boy's not too bright. I had no idea why my Gen Z son wanted a bathrobe for Christmas. I just thought he wanted a bathrobe and then he would wear this bathrobe. I thought maybe Gen Z does bathrobes. He wanted a ring. I'm not really a ring guy. Other than my wedding ring, but he had this big, I just thought, I didn't connect it. Certainly didn't know that he went about his own sandals. I wasn't connecting it. But here's what he was doing. I once was doing my own thing. I once was identifying with the ways of the world, the lies of the enemy, and the cravings of my flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, abounding in love. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And I am now identifying with, I am seated with him at heavenly places. Or in the parable, I am seated with him in the Father's house. I got a dream one day that when people walk into our foyer right here, that's the verse. That the prodigals come home. While you're still a long way off, Father saw him, ran to him, filled with compassion, hugged him, kissed him. Because no matter how mature you are in God, how many years you've been following Jesus, it's still our story every day. I deserve death. You gave me life. It is by grace and mercy through faith. Why? To get to do good works for God. A little bit of heaven now, a little bit of being radiant, shine the light of Jesus to a world that needs Christ, to a world living in lies, living without God, living according to their flesh. Bow your heads with me. Just take a moment. Would you just respond? Just ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying to me today? Get that one idea that you know, this is what God is saying to me today. This is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me today. Now that you have that idea, will you give God your yes? Yes, I will obey. I will take that step. Could be today that you desire new life in Christ Jesus. Could be today that you go from being an orphan to a son or daughter. Could be today that you want God in his mercy and grace to save you. His grace, his mercy, your faith. Today, if you would say, I want to receive new life in Christ, to be his son, his daughter. On three, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm gonna lead you a prayer at your seat. You don't have to come forward. I just want you to pray, just you and God for just a moment. If that's you today, I just wanna invite you just to raise your hand. You can just put your hand up and then slip it right back down. But I wanna invite you to go on the greatest journey there is, which is being saved by God. That's you. So on three, just raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise it up, put it back down. Got it. Yep. Would you pray this prayer? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Rescue me. Give me new life. I don't want to go my way. I go yours. Save me. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer today, I want to invite you to fill out that connection card. Come up here in just a moment. And I want to invite you to tell somebody that you made that decision to follow Jesus. Hey, Radiant, can we just give a big hand for everybody that made that decision to follow Jesus today? So good.